Well, it makes him special in two senses. One, he has the complete trust of Trump, and they created a joint view of the world situation. And so Trump invested a great deal of trust in that. And if you're going to be a successful Secretary of State, you've got to be close to the president.
That's Sean Steele with the Republican National Committee in California. One person who's not so convinced about Pompeo is Robert Menendez from New Jersey. He's a top Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. There was a sense, Senator, that Pompeo was not going to get approval from the committee last night. What happened?
Well, one member on the Republican side, Senator Rand Paul, had said he was definitely going to vote against him. And then, I guess, after significant lobbying by the president and the White House, he switched.
Yeah, and what seemed to happen between Trump and Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul, was how much does Pompeo actually believe the Iraq War was a mistake? And Trump insisted that he did and does believe the Iraq War is a mistake. Pompeo also says he wants to pull troops out of Afghanistan now. But if you look at his track record over the years, calling Pompeo a hawk is not an exaggeration. What are we supposed to believe of what this man believes?
Well, that's the actual question that I posed at the end of his nomination hearing, and as I framed why I was voting no on Pompeo yesterday in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. You know, is it the Mike Pompeo who's talked about regime change in various parts of the world? Or is it the one who would pursue robust diplomacy? Is it the one who will internally push back on the president's worst instincts or facilitate it? And so based on a record as well as his answers, it just seemed to me that the Mike Pompeo will have as the Secretary of State is not the robust diplomatic adventurer who will actually suppress or seek to advise the president strongly to use diplomacy versus military action, and who also has made comments about different communities in the past that a good part of the world represents, whether that's the Muslim community, Indians, LGBTQ communities. And so if you're going to promote democracy and human rights across the globe, you have to start by observing him, observing it here at home.
Now, there are some troubling aspects of Pompeo that you cited, other lawmakers have too. I'm talking about how he speaks about Muslim leaders in America and their quote-unquote special obligation, as he calls it, to preventing terrorist attacks on American soil. What did he say about that in the hearings?
Well, he never took the opportunities that were presented to him by various members, including myself, to either show regret, to say that he was mistaken. He, you know, basically skirted those issues.
It is really hard to imagine someone at this level of American politics making similar comments about any other major religious group. Why is this not a bigger deal?
Well, it should be a big deal. And that is one of the most significant reasons, in addition to an inability to speak to strategy on the critical fronts in the world that we face, whether it be Russia, Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, whether it be his truthfulness and forthcoming on both his unwillingness to discuss the interview he had with Bob Mueller about Russia, which is a critical issue before the committee, or not disclosing his North Korea visit, either in public or in a classified setting when he was being asked questions about North Korea. So this is a significant issue, one of several that has led every Democrat on the committee to vote no.
There was a blog post from the ACLU that stated that, quote, senators must hold Pompeo accountable for his hostility toward Muslims in America and around the world and ensure that such religious bigotry has no place in shaping State Department policies. That is a pretty strong statement. Do you feel the committee did a disservice to Muslims?
Well, I certainly feel that the Republican majority, I didn't hear one of them who questioned him on the question of his comments about the Muslim community. It was only Democrats, including myself, who questioned him on those issues. And we think that is extremely important, not just for Muslims in America, which is important so that they be treated like any other American who chooses how they worship, but a good part of the world globally, where the Muslim faith is a significant part of the world's major religious faiths. And so, and those people who practice that faith, and many which we need as allies in the world in terms of promoting the national interest and security of the United States. So Democrats did press that. Unfortunately, I don't recall one Republican asking him those questions. And I think in that respect, they did a disservice to the community.
There's also the secret trip that Pompeo took to North Korea even before the confirmation process played out. There had already been criticism about Trump announcing seemingly out of the blue that North Korea and the U.S. would sit down to talk. Some said too premature, not enough back-channel discussion to assess seriousness and commitment. And then Pompeo goes secretly to Pyongyang. Are you satisfied to now just sit back and see what happens? And what signs of success are you watching for?
Well, I've said from the very beginning that a meeting is not a strategy, and that this is a high wire, you know, diplomacy and national security issue with no safety net underneath the way the president is pursuing it. This would normally take at least a year's worth of very in-depth preparation of negotiations to understand the depth of Kim Jong-un's commitments, of understanding what would be possible before you prize him with a meeting with the President of the United States, before you create a sense that he is being reasonable and rational and gets benefits in trade from China or international recognition. And so I am concerned that the type of in-depth preparation necessary to know whether the ultimate denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula is possible. And I get concerned when Pompeo and his answers to members before the Committee on North Korea talked about not having North Korea have the ability to or the willingness to use nuclear weapons against the United States. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is dismantlement. Dismantlement guarantees that North Korea cannot use nuclear weapons against the United States or Japan or any of its neighbors. Words are important in diplomacy. Negotiations may rise or fall on what the understanding is. And so I am concerned about all of that. I obviously would love to see a success in a denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. But that will depend upon robust diplomacy and preparation. And honestly, I just don't see that preparation, and I don't see the State Department that has largely been emaciated by this administration having all the capabilities necessary to make that happen. And so these are some of the concerns I have.
And today, President Trump called Kim Jong-un an honorable man. It sounds like your sense is that it's all going almost too good to be true.
I don't know how you call Kim Jong-un an honorable man when North Korea has on several occasions, you know, stopped. For example, you know, the reality is when they say, well, we're not going to test anymore, we're closing our site down for now, if people miss that for now, because we've already tested, you know, under President Trump's watch, the North Koreans tested an intercontinental ballistic missile. So they don't need to test it anymore. They know they have a capability. The North Korean, by many experts, believe that they tested a thermonuclear device. They don't need to test that anymore. We don't test. Most of the great powers that have nuclear weapons don't test. So the reality is that Kim Jong-un has already achieved what he wanted to achieve in terms of preparing himself for nuclear capability. And so, you know, to say that he's an honorable man, we've seen this story before. Whether when they say that they will consider certain things, but always step back and then move forward. And so that's why a very in-depth testing before you have a presidential meeting is so important to really understand what they're willing to do this time.
Senator Menendez, there are rules and protocol when it comes to diplomacy. But at the end of the day, if we look at history, all kinds of diplomatic rules have been broken in order for peace to succeed. Do you agree with that? And do you think Pompeo offers some hope of unconventional diplomacy?
Look, if Director Pompeo gets confirmed through the full Senate, I certainly will seek to work with him, and I wish him the best in the mission. That's, we want America to succeed. We want the world to be safer. As a matter of fact, our concerns about Director Pompeo is that he rounds out what some consider to be a war cabinet versus a cabinet that seeks peace in our time. I certainly would hope that they can achieve that success. But it's interesting to send the director of the CIA, who has talked about regime change in North Korea, as the opening gambit of a conversation with North Korea's dictator.
I'm just curious what happens to the Pompeo nomination now.
The committee, by virtue of Senator Paul's switch, sent him to the floor. And I believe at some point this week, I'm sure that the majority leader will set a time for his nomination to be considered, for debate to take place, and a vote to take place sometime this week. And from what I gather, based upon the announcements of a few members, including a few Democratic members, that it would seem that he is on his way to confirmation.
Senator Robert Menendez, thanks very much for your time today. Really appreciate
it. Good to be with you.